You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday with Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investment, portfolio management professional at that institution. Now, I was talking about FNB and First Rand. I think we should start with First Rand's trading statement. The share price down a little bit, nothing too dramatic. In fact, it's outperforming the overall index. Well, what did you make of the numbers?
Look, all the banks are coming up with very, very similar numbers. You know, maybe the exception to that was African Bank. You know, their bad debts went up quite a bit more than the other guys. But they're all essentially saying, you know, we've got bad debts at the top end of our through the cycle range.
Yes.
But they're making a lot of money on net interest income, because as interest rates go up, they can reprice their clients quicker than what they've got to pay on the interest bill. Because banks, you know, in South Africa, all of our mortgage bonds, all of our HPs, all of our car finance, all that stuff is linked to prime. So the moment prime changes, interest rates go up, but banks borrow in the one-year market, in the two-year market, in the three-year market. You know, they borrow money longer term, either via fixed deposits with their own clients or in the commercial money markets. So if interest rates go up 1%, they charge their clients 1% straight away, but they only have to pay the extra 1% to the people they borrow money from in a year's time or in 2 years' time. So you get this thing called positive jaws, which is very, very good for the banks in the shorter term in a high interest rate environment. Obviously, the longer interest rates stay high, you get less loan growth. You know, so you've got to understand that high interest rates is not good for banks in the longer term, but in the shorter term, it's actually very, very good.
You started to answer my question that I've written down. Sorry, Wayne, you've started to answer the question that was on my piece of paper here. And I was going to ask you, is it good for banks to have higher interest rates because they can widen their spreads, that sort of thing? Or on the other hand, long term, not good because it crimps economic activity and therefore borrowing and lending.
So ultimately, high interest rates, or not necessarily high, but increasing interest rates or interest rates above the average trend, are not good for banks longer term. So the actual answer is it's not good for banks, full stop. But in the shorter term, you make a little bit of money. In the first year and a half, maybe 2 years, you make a little bit of money.
It plays nicely into the CPI data we had today, consumer price inflation from South Africa, which fell gratifyingly, 0.2% month on month. I think it was 6.4% year on year, the headline figure. So maybe that will stave off another interest rate rise, because there are predictions, of course, with the Rand being where it is, and we're not importing as much inflation anymore, that it will stay a little bit lower for a little bit longer. What do you make of that? What's that theory to you?
Look, I must have had a bad sleep last night. I'm yawning here.
That's me.
Look, inflation is coming down, obviously. We all know that. It was always going to do it. That was never an issue. The question is how much it actually falls by. But, I mean, we're sitting now at an 11-month low on inflation, which is good.
Yes.
And I think it's going to come down even more. So, you know, it's now 6.8%. That's not far off the 6% trading range. And it's going to go into there easily, probably next month. You know, it's just food and non-alcoholic beverages, which is still at 14%, which is a very high number. And the month on month is 0.4. So if you annualize that, you get to 5 or 6%. But it's still going to soften quite a bit, and very different to the US inflation rate, where the month-on-month increase was 0.1%. And if you annualize that, you know, inflation hardly exists in America. So I think American inflation is going to fall. But to answer your question, as long as the Rand behaves, now behave doesn't go back to 20. stays in the 18 range, hopefully stays in the 1830, 1820, 1840 range, then we won't see an increase with this inflation number.
No, and we won't
because,
see.
You know, inflation rates have a lagged effect on the items that they do influence. They're not, interest rates have a lagged effect on inflation on the items that they do influence. Of course, they don't influence many items in South Africa. In fact, the biggest item that interest rates influences in South Africa is the rand-dollar exchange rate. And that, of course, in itself is inflationary or deflationary, depending on which way it's moving. And of course, it will curtail some demand, but such an incredibly large percentage of our inflation basket is actually rand parity priced. You know, it's priced on the rand equivalent of what the world dollar price is. That's oil, that's food. You know, there is a bit of a difference in food because is it free on board or, you know, do you got to take the transport costs in and out of South Africa into account? But yeah, all of this is good news.
Yes, it is good news. We've been at odds with our numbers. So let me just clarify in case people are confused. May's CPI inflation rate dropped to 6.3% year on year.
Now, where did I get that from?
I don't know where. You were yawning earlier on, which I don't know. I'm not taking it personally, but, you know, take it as you...
I've got this thing I've got from the Department of Statistics South Africa. Says inflation eases to 6.8% in April compared to 7.1% in March.
Yeah, but see, Wayne, as you get older, you tend to lose a month here and there. You've lost a month. This is not April's. This is May's CPI inflation, and it dropped.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, then I've dropped. Then I've dropped a whole month. Then that's even. Then that's even better then.
Yeah,
I've got the right one now.
Yeah, 6.3%, 0.2% month for month. And this is from Investec.
That's vastly different, John.
It is. The CPI inflation.
Words, exactly what I was saying. Just I don't know why there's a military jet flying around, yeah? Headline consumer inflation to 6.3 and the month-on-month increase was 0.2.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Inflation's coming into that target band very quickly. And... you know, as long as the rand doesn't go to 20 against the dollar, we in business. We won't see another rate increase.
The inference here from the desk of the chief economist of Investec says the following. The CPI inflation rate is likely to continue to subside over most of 2023, which has been your contention the whole time, reaching the midpoint of the inflation target of 4.5% year on year in 2024, and then remaining around 4.5% over the forecast period. So very nice. So it's good. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of lack of demand, but I think the rand is going to be a huge factor in the next half year, I reckon.
Yes. Look, what the rand's going to do in the shorter term, I don't know. It could easily go back to 20. It could go to 18. But longer term, the rand is still probably going to go into the 17s, maybe even the 16s.
As low as that.
Yeah. But I'm talking 2-3 years now. It's done it every single time. Every time there's been global interest rates falling and you get sustained economic growth and commodity prices, or you get improving economic growth worldwide and commodity prices go up, the rand strengthens. So, you know, the last time we had this was in 2015. The rand got to 18 or something like that. You know, the next stop was 1350 or 1320 on the back of a better commodity cycle, nothing else. You know, there wasn't any other major external influence, and there never is over time with the rand. The rand is a commodity. The rand's driven by inflation differentials and the commodity cycle over time. Now, I'm even reading here now.
Yeah.
You know, food inflation is coming down quite nicely. Meat prices declined. Oils and fats declined. Fell sharply in May. But bread and cereals slowed to 18% from 20% in April.
Wow. Still high, though. It's still high, Wayne. 14% overall, I think it is.
And, of course, bread is very important to South Africa, and it's big in the consumer basket as well.
Wayne, I want to talk about the international, before we get on to other matters, I want to talk about the international central bank situation. We had three interest rate decisions last week. Bank of China cut by 0.1% to 2.65%. The Eurozone, the ECB, raised by 25 basis points to 4%, despite the fact they've got an inflation rate of 7%. So big differential there. Savers being punished. United States of America kept their target rate at 5 to 5.25%. And their inflation rate has come down to 4%. You look at the UK, their inflation rate came out this morning, 8.7%. The UK is doing so badly. But this has come out this afternoon and why the market is getting whacked a bit. Fed Chair Powell expects more Fed rate hikes ahead as inflation fight has a long way to go. This is strange. That's a strange comment given what the trend is in inflation. Don't you find?
It would take extraordinary circumstances for them to up interest rates again. But you must remember, he's got to talk his book.
Yeah.
He can't say interest rates are going to fall until he's convinced that the inflation rate is... Well, in fact, he'll never say interest rates are going to fall, except on the day at the meeting when they decide to do it. You won't get an advance notice of it. Ultimately, they are conservative and they're hawks, ultimately. So there'll always be a story, if necessary, interest rates will go up. So in fact, it's quite consistent with what he's been saying.
Let's have a look now at what is going on, because as I said, we've had three central banks making their decisions. I think we've got the Bank of England this week. Once that's out the way, and there's not many results trickling through at the moment, what do you do as a fund manager during these quiet times? Because times are quiet with the Northern Hemisphere summer. Markets are up one day, one week, down the next, etc. Do you start? Do you do some admin? Do you go into research? Or do you throw yourself into your two hobbies, i.e. your main hobby, motor cars? And also, I dare say, neck and neck with that, the world's greatest rugby fan. So what do you do?
Rugby fan. Yeah, well, rugby's coming up. Big rugby's coming up soon, eh?
Is it?
Oh, yes. The two weeks' time, we got the test against Argentina, Australia, New Zealand. Mm. It's a very limited test. I forget its name now because all of these rugby championships and things that they're in have all got different names now.
Yeah.
But... So that's coming up very soon, and then that'll be, I think in not this Saturday or no, in two Saturdays' time, something like that, 16 days' time, we got the first test in Loftus-Versfeld against Australia, and then the world's biggest rugby fan and I are going to the Ellis Park game against Argentina, but we're giving it full go there. We've booked overnight at the Troyville Hotel. So we're going there for lunch before the game, and then we're going to the game, then we're going back there for dinner and staying for breakfast, then going home. So we're giving it a whole expedition there.
You're taking it very seriously. Now, the Troyville Hotel, is it still famed for its Portuguese food?
Yes. Now, there's only one, and I wouldn't even call it a negative thing about the Troyville Hotel, but it has changed somewhat in its ambiance.
Okay.
It's actually gone quite significantly upmarket.
Hmm.
Now, as I said, I'm not sure whether that... And remember, you're measuring off a very low base here, so don't think it's an upmarket restaurant.
No,
it's just better than what it was, significantly better than what it was. And because apparently, and this is all that I hear, and there's no factual, there's nothing to substantiate it, but the owners or the ex-owners of Nando's or the Nando's family have put money into the Troyville, and they've actually zhuzhed it up nicely. You can go there quite comfortably any time of the day, and it's very nice and very relaxing, and everything's new and it's actually the reason. It's a comparison to the Troyville of, let's say, 4 or 5 years. And this happened 3 years ago when it was upgraded. So we're going there and we're staying overnight in their luxury room. We've only got five rooms, but we're staying in the luxury room, which is about 200 Rand more expensive than the standard room. And we are going to have a most wonderful time.
Sounds idyllic, especially if you like rugby, which if it was cricket, I can understand. I'm watching the Ashes series at the moment, which has wrung me dry over the last 5 days because England on the fifth day lost the first Ashes test. But it's great fun. But I mean, apart from that, work-wise, more seriously, well, the Troyville Hotel is very serious. In fact, I'd say it's more serious than work. What do you do? Because it is quiet, isn't it?
Look, I actually think the biggest mistake, and I know that same as everyone else, I'm also guilty of this. Sometimes you feel like you've got to do something.
Yes.
You know, you've got to justify your salary, for want of a better word. And I think we trade too much. I think you've got to take your positions, and then unless circumstances alter materially from what you envisaged, you just stick with that position. You know, sometimes I think the industry just trades too much just to do something, just to be active. I'm not even sure how to describe it correctly.
No, I understand. You feel guilty
sitting around the place.
Yeah. Oh, good. So you've learned to nothing.
I prefer sitting around the place, to be honest.
Again, I'll use a cricket analogy. It's often the ball that you leave that is the most productive. In other words, don't try and hit everything. Just leave one occasionally if it doesn't look right. So it's the same with investments. Now, what about food, Wayne? All I've got to tell you is I'm going for mussels tomorrow night at the seaside in the south of Dinier de Lund, and I bought really nice.
And I'm sure their mussels are good.
Well, they are. So it's actually a restaurant attached to the local mussel farm, so they're not wild mussels, but they're grown there and they come straight out of the sea, and they're very, very delicious. And I also today I bought a thick Irish ribeye steak, which I've just taken out the fridge. I've covered it in a little bit of olive oil and salt and pepper, and I'm waiting for it to get to room temperature. Then I'm going to cook that with some green beans. So that's me. What about you?
We haven't actually done much home cooking recently. We've both been incredibly busy. I was away on business, and the world's biggest also went out to a couple of functions in the evenings for her work.
Yeah.
So there wasn't that much home cooking going on. But what I did have that was totally and utterly delicious. Obviously, winter year, we have quite a bit of soup. From the people you know very well, frozen for you by word of mouth.
Oh, very good. They're doing a retail service now. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They've got their own. They've got retail shops now.
Good Lord!
And they've got a chorizo and bean soup that is truly delicious. They grill the chorizo so it's nice and crispy on the outside, obviously before they put it in the soup, and the soup's nice and thick. It is actually fantastic. So I went and bought a few things from by word of mouth about a week and a half ago. And we had this soup, and it is truly good.
I remember.
I should have told you just about their Asian fried rice. You just buy Asian fried rice from them, and then you grill a bit of chicken or whatever you want to add into the rice. Also fantastic.
I can remember Karen Brazier starting that when I lived in Joburg and we were friends. And it was a good sort of service. You'd get in a little van and go to someone's place and cook them meals or something, or deliver some delicious three-course meal, whatever. And now she's got shops. Congratulations to her. Very good.
Yeah, she's got certainly three shops that I know of, you know, in all the sort of big northern suburb shopping centres.
Yeah.
And they always seem busy, and they bring new stuff on. And the fridges are always stocked. They never haven't got anything. The other thing that I really enjoy of theirs, and I know this sounds very strange coming from me, they've got a really good quiche. Because you know the saying, real men don't eat quiche. Well, this is one quiche. I'm not saying I'm a real man, but this is one quiche that I truly and utterly enjoy. It's fantastic.
And she's a wizard in the kitchen, that woman. Okay. All right, Wayne. Well, thank you very much for your time, as always. Very good luck. When is that Troyville gig? When is that? In a couple of weeks' time?
Yeah, I think it's the second last weekend of July or something like that.
Oh, okay. We'll speak before then. Jolly good. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg, and that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.